We're continuing with the interview with Gordon Keach. And at this point, what we're looking through is a publication that was put out by Kip Kelly to celebrate its 65th anniversary, the years 1913 to 1978. So we're going to go through the booklet, and Mr. Keach is going to make some comments on the various types of equipment so that we can match bit of information to the different pictures. So we're looking at the inside of the front cover.
Yeah, this is an advertising page by Gardner Denver. That's the company that we were represented for 50 years. And here's the big air compressor and the drill that I talked about that was used to for drilling and blasting the for the pipeline going through northwestern Ontario. And next page is another advertising one by Gardner Denver presenting Mr. Kip with a plaque in commemorating the 50 years of association between Kip Kelly and Gardner Denver. And page four, a picture of the executive group, yes.
A fine-looking group.
A fine-looking group. Also, though, there's a this page is gives a good outline of the company's history, who's working there and what they're doing. The different divisions are enumerated. When I said general all the time, I think we changed the name from general to industrial over the years. But there we are: contractors, equipment, own and division, industrial, bakery, and export. There's a picture of Mr. Kip there beside an air flotation stoner. That's the simple separation that I mentioned of taking stones out of wheat or other products.
And that would be used mainly by mills, or is that?
Like, yeah, primarily mills. Mm-hmm. And yeah, either feed mills or flour mills. Page six is an interview between the producer of this publication and Mr. Kip, which gives an insight into the background of the company over the years. There's a page seven. That's another product I forgot about. Gorman Rupp pumps. We used to sell a lot of pumps, big industrial types primarily. Page.
Mars they use for flooding or water control?
Yeah, water control. Yeah. Yeah, there's some, yes, different applications, but primarily just moving water when you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Could be pumps, yes. Could be floods, I mean. Now we start with articles on the different divisions. Here's the industrial division with the manager, Peter McGregor, and different ones who work there with him. Gives you an insight into... he mentioned some of the companies he's dealt with, a lot of grain companies in the West, such as Cargill, Mantible Pool, and other Prairie Co-ops, to improve their grain handling equipment. Yeah, a lot in there about grain handling. I mentioned the bakery equipment. There's on page nine, there's an advertisement by Kemper. They're in West Germany, but we bought a lot of bakery equipment from them. There's some of the, used to lease our cars, as I mentioned. There's some of them there from Park Pontiac. We dealt with them for many, many years. Page 10 is a section on export division, along with the manager at the time was Ross Stewart, and Doug Broadhurst, and Bill Paulson worked in the division. Bill Paulson is the fellow who now works with Arrow, but the one who got moved from Bueller to okay. So on. That's Bill Paulson. And it'll tell you all about, it mentions Doug Middleton, Keith Middleton, I mean. We had a manager, we had a plant superintendent called Doug Middleton here. No relation. Keith Middleton was our Kip Kelly London director. Then we get into the contractor's equipment. Tells you all the different products that they handle, Gardner Denver and so on. Oh, another product I didn't mention there was Kershaw Railway Track Maintenance Equipment. That was heavy, heavy-duty stuff that maintains railroad tracks, the ballast, and straightens out the lines and all that big stuff. There's a Fleming Peddler. We used to buy coolers and so on for bakeries from them and showcases. We sold a lot of shelving, industrial slotted steel angle is the technical name, where you bolted the angle. It's an angle with slots in it, and you bolt holes and built shelving. Sold a lot of that. One of the bigger contracts we got for that was the old Winnipeg Amphitheater, which is now the Provincial Archives building. And we put all the shelving in that building when it was turned into the archives.
Mm.
Oh, here's the executive people. Here's a picture of me in my halcyon days. Now here's around the world. Kip Kelly across on page 11, page 13. There's a separator and stoner installation, cleaning edible nuts that I mentioned. That one's in Liverpool, England. There's a feed mill installation in Winkler. Separators and stoners processing peanuts in Port Sudan. Country elevator equipment at Plum Coulee. Testing drag conveyor for rapeseed in Fort Saskatchewan. That's the drag conveyor.
Mm-hmm.
Pea processing plant in Saint Jean Baptiste. Is elevating equipment in Mocha, Mauritius. Dispatch oven and proofer in Winnipeg. Seed plant in Carmen. And another picture of an oven in Winnipeg somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Did just looking at that Winnipeg one, was Kip Kelly involved at all in outfitting the Canadian International Grains Institute or the research lab?
We did a little bit in that, but not much. That mm-hmm. was mostly, I don't know why he didn't, but I know the fellow well who, at the time, he decided he bought some competitive stuff.
Mm. Do you remember the competitor's name?
No.
You've blanked it from your mind.
Yeah. This is a page 14 is a continuation of the contractor's equipment thing. There's another product. There's the Jacobson Hammer Mill. There's the hammer mill.
Oh, the one you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that comes in here, and this is a just goes like mad with stuff that I can't remember what they call them, but it just knocks the devil out of grain, chops it up. Here's the Onan division. There's a pretty big installation there, but we sold a lot of Onan equipment. We had our own technicians and servicemen for that division.
Remind me again what the Onan division was?
Generating sets.
Oh,
electric
right.
standby generating
right.
sets, general. Because it became the law that every big building that had to have a standby generator to operate emergency lights, but primarily elevators and that type of thing. It couldn't run usually the whole building, but mm-hmm. it do the essentials.
Mm-hmm.
So every building that's built has to have a standby generator,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be tested at least once a month to make sure it's mm-hmm. working. Some of them work. Most of them now just run on natural gas.
Mm-hmm. Now, brings up another question, sort of talking about emergencies, and made me think of things like dust control. Were you involved at all in dust control? That became
oh, sure.
sort of a...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know whether...
We might come to that later?
I don't know. But we did have a dust collecting agency.
Well, let's just finish off and
we'll finish it. Here's,
yeah.
here's the bakery division. See, here's all the different equipment. There's a rounder, an overhead proofer where...
Where the dough rises?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gets. You dump the mixed dough into that hopper, the divider, and it punches out 16-ounce chunks of dough,
mm-hmm.
which are just chunks. then it has to be rounded. And it goes through a rounder to do that. And then it has to, it goes into these little pockets, each one's individual pockets mm-hmm. of, you know, nylon or something. And that's heated and humidified. And that's where it gets the first rising. The dough rises. And when it's risen enough, it comes through this machine, which flattens it out. Punches it, all the air out.
Like kneading it.
It's like kneading. It punches it out, and it goes through these. This is a belt. These are belts that roll it out into a flat slab of dough, and then it's rolled up and put into a pan. And then there's a second proofing from there in the pan. That's what you see the finished look.
So the rolling up is the that's done by hand?
No,
that's all done
by this machine. Hmm.
So just for purpose of having this recorded, Mr. Keach is looking at page 18, the picture at the lower left-hand corner, and in his description, he's starting with the lower left-hand corner of the of the picture, the white machine.
The divider.
The
rounder is behind it.
The rounder.
And then it goes through the overhead proofer.
The overhead proofer is a horizontal piece.
And down into, I can't remember the name of that machine. That last machine
is the
one
that does the rolling.
It rolls it up, and from there it goes into the pans for a second proofing.
So where do hands touch it? Anywhere?
Nope.
Automated.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And that's all Dutch equipment.
Okay.
So the bakery, we'd sell showcases. We could completely equip a bakery. Mm.
Then we have the hardworking accounting department.
Yes.
Near and dear to your heart, I would think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. and then the production department, there's a production manager, Bill Hurd, talking to Ernie Balmer, who was our supervisor, department sheet metal shop supervisor. That's the deck, by the way, on page 20, the lower photograph assembly work at a KK plant. That's the deck of a gravity separator, that the air flows up underneath it and gets the air flotation going. That's shaking backwards and mm-hmm. forwards.
So that was actually where Kip Kelly started with that piece of, mm-hmm. or that engineering.
Yeah, that and the granulator. These are all the gravity separators being assembled here on page 21.
So that's page 21, the picture in the lower left-hand corner.
Yeah. Oh, here's the branches that we have on page 22. London, Calgary, Brandon, Thunder Bay at that time. Starting Thunder Bay on January 1st, 1979. Mm. now, again on page 22, the photographs down the right-hand side, there's a Kip Kelly wheat heater that's used for tempering grain in the wintertime to warm it up. It's a series of pipes through which hot water, or usually steam goes through to heat the frozen grain before they mill it.
So why would this, like they take it out of their silos and it would be frozen still?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
The second photograph is a model SY300, that's just the size, separated inside the Lee Belt plant. I think that's in England. Pretty sure Lee Belt. I don't recognize that here. That's England.
So that the separators would be separating there, like the if it was nuts, they'd be separating.
We did all manner of things. Rubber. We did a lot with rubber. Rubber regenerating, where they take old tires mm-hmm. and they chop them up again through a kind of hammer mill process. Now you've got. You got two things. You got steel from the steel radial.
They do the whole tire.
They do the whole tire. They chop it all up. But the problem is you got not only rubber, now you got steel and stones maybe. And we found we could separate the good from the bad there. That's mm-hmm. what we did, separate the good from the bad. The stones and stones and the steel chopped up would be heavier than the rubber, and one went one way and one went the other.
So that one basic scientific...
all can be adapted to all manner of
right.
things. Yes.
Right. And this is one thing I mentioned to you about what we were hoping to do in Thunder Bay, was we wanted to feature the history of the industry, but we also wanted to do sort of the science piece.
Yeah.
And this is an excellent piece of the science
yes.
that led to a lot of of innovation and
yeah.
a lot of uses.
It did. And the third photograph is a bucket elevator. Yeah, it's the bucket elevator.
The tall vertical.
Yeah, it takes everything up
structure.
And then it comes down by gravity, goes through these drag conveyors into the different bins.
Mm-hmm.
And you can.
So the bucket elevator actually has little buckets on it?
Yes.
They're
yes.
like the ones you see in the big terminal elevators.
Exactly, yeah. And they start, and the finish, we, instead of using metal ones, we started buying plastic, hard plastic ones.
And.
Well, they were.
Were you happy with the
sure,
with
were,
the change?
Oh yeah, yeah. They were kind of better, cheaper. You know, was making them out of steel. Grain is very abrasive,
mm-hmm.
very hard on metal, hard on everything. But it is hard. It's amazing what it does when you're handling grain. It just wears out all these pipes and all. They've always got to be welding them up and replacing.
Hmm.
Very abrasive.
So. with the buckets in operation all the time, would you know how frequently those would have to be replaced?
No, I wouldn't know. It depend on the product they were handling.
Okay.
Everybody would be different, but they would continually be replacing them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And so the plastic was less subjected to that.
Well, I think it was.
Abrasion?
It was less expensive too, to be in.
There was a
firm called Canadian Corrugating and something or other in Winnipeg that used to make. Metal buckets, long gone, you know, again.
Mm-hmm. Plastic took over.
Well, yeah.
Just off the top of my head, it would seem to me, and I that as a uninformed person looking at it, that the metal would have less chance of breaking and so on, but that wasn't the case?
Well, that's true. Again, it depended perhaps on the product being
mm-hmm.
handled, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were handling a lot of different products, not just grains and that.
Mm-hmm.
So, now on page...
what do we have at the bottom there?
Oh, the bottom is just some drag conveyors. There's a drag conveyor. Here's a bucket elevator going up there. And into a drag conveyor, drags across. And it has a gate in it. As it's
mm-hmm.
going across, you can drop it into this bin or keep going into that. Shut this one off, go into there. And they had...
Actually, I those bins remind me of ones that are in Thunder Bay... at an elevator, so you could actually walk on that.
There's a catwalk up there.
A catwalk
mm-hmm.
along
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, there's the catwalk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're moving on to the next page.
The last page, pretty well, the last inside page, that's got a good example of everything here. Here's a gravity separator. And
starting
then
from the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah, and then going across the Niverville feed mill operation. You see, that's what I mean. This is Niverville was a big one for us. There's the elevator,
mm-hmm.
bucket elevator, bringing it up. Now it's going into all these different bins, and that's.
Are those called legs?
The legs, yeah.
Yes.
These are legs, yes.
Oh, these are legs. What are these?
Well, these are just pipes.
Spouts.
Spouts.
Okay.
A spout. But this here...
The little white triangular item. Uh-huh.
That's a distributor. And what happens is the grain is elevated. It drops into the top of that distributor. And the distributor turns. It'll turn 360 degrees,
mm-hmm.
controlled electrically. And you can turn it around. It has holes in the bottom. And it can go into whatever spout you want it to. If you want to put wheat into one, you turn it and it goes. If the next one's oats, it'll turn around and go in. So you can, it's distribute it means you can distribute it to various bins.
That makes so much more sense. Like, I always thought, just to show you how, and I'm not that familiar with grain elevator equipment, but I always thought that these distributing spouts moved. But no,
they're stationary.
The distributor head did, which makes far more sense.
Yeah, the head moves it. The pipes all stay the same.
Okay.
there's a generating set, and that's what I said. It's essentially, it's a base, which is probably one that we've made ourselves, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We would buy the Onan generator from Minneapolis, and the engine could be any, we'd buy it from anybody. It could be any kind of engine.
Oh, okay.
And then you build a base, you put the two together with a flexible connector, some electrical controls, and you've got a standby generator.
So would that be one that would be used on the train, as you mentioned, or is
that's too large? That's one that you'd use in a building.
Okay.
The train is
similar setup, but smaller?
Yes, much smaller, yeah. No, this would be for a building, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next row is a family fare bakery showing oven proof and sheeter. Not a very good picture.
A lot of white on white.
Yeah.
The other one was much better.
Yeah, because bakery equipment's always white anyway, pretty well. There's pumps. We sell our pumps. then there's, here's some more solid steel shelving at the University of Winnipeg Library.
I'll be going there in a few days. It'll mean more to me now to look at the shelving.
They still got it. Probably have. I mean, I've got the steel shelving downstairs in my basement. All my stuff's on. Got about five racks down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasts forever, you know. And if you want to, the advantage of this shelving is that if you want to change it, you just unbolt it. It's like Meccano said. That's what it is, really. You just unbolt it and make something else from it.
Yeah.
And the lower level is of these pictures on the inside back, kind of Denver air track with a compressor. There's drilling and blasting holes. That's probably taken down around Kenora somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Thomas skid steer loader, which is like a competitor for the, the American one. This is made in Canada. Interesting story about Thomas. They're from, where are they from? Prince Edward Island or somewhere, Thomas. Let me think. Who's the big French fry people in Canada?
McCain's.
McCain's were contracting out to all the growers, you know, to grow potatoes for them. I think they're in Florenceville, New Brunswick. I think that's where McCain's are, Florenceville.
Well, yes, and they also have a big operation in PEI.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, I wouldn't
anyway,
be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this Thomas machine shop or whatever, he was building the machines for them to dig the potatoes, you know. And got to be pretty big, so McCain bought them out. Talk about vertical integration. So McCain buys out Thomas machine shop, and they start making these skid steer loaders. So we sold a lot of those. They were quite good. A lot of problems with them, but they were good. You know, we sold a lot. Funny little niche market there, and they're still running around. You still see them around here. And there's another. I think that's the same picture we saw over here, or similar. It's the same picture. Try to compare. Okay. Should have noticed that at the time. Anyway, that's gives you a thumbnail sketch of the diversity of Kit Kelly at the time.
Mm-hmm. Good. It was good to be able to put stories to the various pieces of equipment. Thank you.